my Keurig brewer from Walmart always comes in super clutch. I got it so I can keep grinding on my paper. You know I'm hitting that deadline. I also got it so I could stay up late to do some exam cramming. And of course, you know I'll be ready to stroll into my morning class, sipping in style. I guess you could say it's a literal lifesaver. Cheers to that. Shop your coffee fuel needs at Walmart.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's up, everybody, and welcome in to Commanding the Huddle. I am your host, Ryan Fowler. And today's episode, ladies and gentlemen, is a little bit of a... It's an exciting one. In the fact of the matter that we are just a few weeks away from training camp for the 2024 campaign, a brand new campaign, a era of hope, if you will, an era of progression, and hopefully 2024 provides that stepping stone to what the Commanders are going to be, not only in this year with year one and the Adam Peters, Dan Quinn regime, and the athletes every single play and every single week that we're going to be hearing about here during the preseason and regular season, and of course here in training camp, but this is a step towards football. Training camp really kicks off the 2024 season. It's not OTAs. It's not rookie mini camp. Those guys are out there in t-shirt and shorts. They're in shells. A lot of those sessions are prioritized with meetings, with getting your body right, with getting into the facility. For a lot of the rookies, it's getting into town. It's setting up where they're going to live, getting used to the area. It's all of those different logistical things. But now, with training camp out in Ashburn, kicking off on July 28th with Welcome Back Weekend, and then their last practice open to the public, of course, on August 6th, so early on in August before the preseason gets rolling, it is time for football. And the biggest thing with training camp is, of course, the spotlight is going to be on all of the new faces. You guys know them. You guys have been here with me on this podcast for years now, and especially these last few months where we've really peeled the layers back into this free agency class, peeled the layers back into this draft class, the first one under Adam Peters, and really provided you guys a look into who the hell is going to be out there for the Burgundy and Gold this year, because Adam Peters and Dan Quinn have come in, looked at the roster from last year and guys that have really built up over the last few years and just rid of a lot of guys. It's a lot of new faces and a lot of new places. And that's going to come with some speed bumps, not only here as training camp practices get rolling, but as we get into the regular season. And I think that's something that is to be understood to provide context for you guys as we get going here really towards football in this final stretch or so, less than 2 months away really from regular season football, and Washington travels down to Tampa Bay to take on the Buccaneers in week one, is that this thing is going to take time. I can't sit here right now and say, guys, expect the Commanders to challenge for an NFC East title. Expect them to have a draft pick next year in the 20s. I can't sit here and say that because really, I don't think anybody knows what to expect of the Commanders this year. I think for me, my expectations are that they are going to be better. They're going to be more of a prepared team. They're going to be more aggressive. They're going to be physical. They've always had athletes in the building. That was a prioritization of Ron Rivera when he was in town of drafting pure athletes. But being able to marry athleticism and then the ability as a football player in all three phases of the game, I think is what I've appreciated, just the first class of free agents and rookies that Adam Peters and Dan Quinn have brought into Washington. Because at the end of the day, the Commanders just flat out need better football players. Now, I know that is such a bland statement, but for Washington to really get back on the tracks towards relevancy, kicking off with training camp to where guys are finally going to be in pads, and we'll get into that here in this episode where I'm going to dive into storylines to keep an eye out for in training camp in all three phases of the Commanders roster. But just, it is going to take time. And when the guys get out there in training camp and Jaden Daniels is running the show, not everything is going to be perfect. It's not going to be perfect in training camp. It's not going to be perfect in the preseason. And it sure as hell is not going to be perfect when Washington lines up against that Todd Bowles veteran athletic defense, headlined by guys like Vita Vea and Kalijah Kancey and Levante David and guys like Antoine Winfield Jr., who's one of the top paid secondary players in the NFL. Like, they got athletes everywhere. And it's going to take some time. But from a 10,000-foot view of this thing, you guys should be very excited. I'm very excited. I'm excited to cover the Commanders this year. And I am every year. We always have that excitement of heading into each year, right? Where I know the last few years under the Rivera regime, it was, you know, the baseline of expectation was at least 500 football and potentially competing for a wild card spot. Now, that's not how things went in 2023. But now this is a new era, if you will, of everything. We got some new jerseys. We're bringing back the gold pants this year. It's going to be great to see those, how they utilize those combinations. You got a brand new talent under center. You got new coordinators. You got a new GM running the show. And there just is that influx of excitement that is surrounding Washington right now, especially when you look around the division, because you look at what Philadelphia did last year and they really fell apart the back end of the year. They finally faced adversity and they couldn't fight it. They really, and I've said this before, they really hid behind the couch and they got dominated by Tampa Bay in the wild card round. Dallas continually wants to show up in the regular season and falters in the playoffs. And this is a humongous year for Dak Prescott and Mike McCarthy and that regime down there. Ezekiel Elliott is their damn RB1 now behind an offensive line that is reshaped with two rookies and Tyler Guyton and Cooper Beebe. And then the Giants still have Daniel Jones in town. And not going to sit here and just pick apart Daniel Jones, but at the end of the day, they were in a spot to take a quarterback and they took Malik Nabers. And that's a kid that whose success is going to correlate directly with who's throwing in the damn football under center. And the Giants majorly regressed and came back to earth in 2023 after a dynamic season in 2022. Where, of course, they went into Minnesota and beat the Vikings in the opening round of the playoffs and really exceeded expectations. So when you look at Washington this year and the talent that they do have fundamentally, they have a chance to compete and win some damn ball games this year. But overall, the biggest thing is games aren't won on a spreadsheet. Games aren't won on a depth chart and saying, oh, this guy's good here. Oh, but they have Bobby Wagner. Oh, but they have Austin Eckler. And then Jaden Daniels. Well, did you see what he did at LSU? Well, this is an LSU. This is the NFL. And for Bobby Wagner coming into a different defense in different environment with different players in front of him and behind him, his role is going to change a little bit because he now is going to be that. I'm not saying his role is going to change as far as just that everyday linebacker, but he's not a guy when he was in Seattle to where he knew he was going to be there for probably 3, 4, 5, 6 years after that, before he went to the Rams, of course. Bobby Wagner fundamentally is not in the long-term plans for Washington. I don't think we could sit here in 2027, 2028 and say, oh, Bobby Wagner's still the core guy of this defense. Similarly, what we expected when Washington drafted Jamin Davis out of Kentucky years ago. Because as of right now, if you ask me, Jamin Davis isn't a piece for the now. Now, he's going to play some edge rusher this year. I think that's a storyline we can look at this year. But he's going to be on this team, but I don't know if Jamin is the future at linebacker. So Bobby's ability to be in this middle, to be that guy for potentially 1 year, potentially maybe next year if they want to pull some more out of him. But Bobby Wagner is a guy that doesn't need to prove anything to anybody. He's been around a long time. And when you watch this defense this year and starting in training camp when the pads finally come on, and this is where my first storyline is going to, guys, is the progression of offense and defense. And something that I want you guys to keep in mind if you're out in Ashburn or you're watching clips on Twitter or you're seeing things from wherever is that defense progresses quicker than offense at any level. On defense, you could really align 11 guys. You put four down linemen, put a couple linebackers on, throw your DBs out there, and allow guys to fly around or just play zone and have your front four just rush, and you'd be decently okay. Whereas offense, especially now with a new quarterback, a new coordinator, you got new skill groupings, you got new faces at each position, right? Austin Ekeler running back, Zach Ertz and Ben Sinnott at tight end. You got new faces at tackle, new faces within the interior. And of course, the team drafted Luke McCaffrey to most likely be wide receiver three behind Terry McLaurin and Jahan Dotson. There's a lot of new moving pieces there, and that's going to take time. So keep an eye early on, first few practices, even as we get into the preseason, to where don't expect fireworks every single day from the offensive side of the ball. Whether it's full 11-on-11 teamwork, or it's just 7-on-7 work, or red area work to where they're doing low red zone, or they're doing situational work where it's 2nd and 6 inside the 10, or it's a 3rd and 15 inside the 20 in a 2-minute drill. There's a lot of different things that we're going to see early on in training camp where this coaching staff is going to put specifically the offense in some precarious situations to see how Jaden Daniels handles things against this defense to where there is talent, right? You look at the front seven and you look at a trio of John Allen, Daron Payne, and Bobby Wagner. Those three guys are going to live within the front seven of the Commanders this year. And they've seen everything from an NFL perspective. And that's going to be a great test for Jaden. So again, keep an eye on the offense. Of course, that's going to be the headline. It's going to be a spotlight both locally for the Commanders and nationally as far as how Jaden Daniels progresses early on in training camp. But the defense always progresses much, much quicker. It's not as complicated as the offense where you're doing different formations. You're on different snap counts. Jaden Daniels, Tyler Biadasz as that quarterback center combo, setting protections. And that takes me to my next storyline is Jaden Daniels early on in training camp. I don't need to see him drop back, sit back there for 3 seconds, and make throws to Terry McLaurin, Jahan Dotson, Luke McCaffrey, De'Ami Brown, Marcus Roseme, Jack Saint. I don't, for 50 yards every single down. Now, I know that draws headlines. That's going to draw oohs and ahs from social media and this and that. But what I want to see Jaden Daniels do early on in training camp is take care of the football, be efficient with it, dissect over the middle of the field, pump some throws within the numbers consistently. And I want to see him be able to lead this offense by coming into the huddle, relaying a play call. Someone, a receiver, doesn't hear it, comes back in. He's able to tell him to get out there and get the play off before the snap count. The play clock runs out. Those are little things I think go overlooked for rookie quarterbacks to where their skill sets are so spotlighted. And Jaden obviously has an electric skill set with his arm and with his legs, and we're pumped up to see it. Very excited to see him in this offense. But the little things, as far as relaying a play, setting protections, if Tyler Biadasz is not setting protections from up front, which I do expect him to do. I know he's been doing some already in offseason workouts throughout the spring. But those are the little things that I want to see early on in training camp. And that's the biggest thing for me with Jaden. I know he can throw the ball. I know he can run. I know he can be a creative playmaker on every down, from every down and distance, at every leverage point of a football game, whether you're up 20 or you're down 20. I know the type of playmaker that Jaden Daniels is because we saw it at Arizona State and we saw it in the SEC at LSU, reason why he won the Heisman and also won the ESPY for best male athlete in college last week, if you guys didn't see that, which was awesome. Really cool to see him that. The accolades just continue to pile up for Jaden Daniels after his dynamic, of course, 2023 college football campaign. But now it's taking that next step to the NFL where everybody can run, everybody can tackle, everybody's got instincts, and they're extrapolated to certain players. And that's what we're going to see early on against Tampa Bay with Todd Bowles, one of the top defensive minds in football. You're going to see it twice with the Eagles, the Cowboys, and the Giants where they got playmakers, right? The Eagles drafted Cooper DeJean and Quinyon Mitchell from Toledo, who's most likely going to start right away opposite of either Darius Slay or James Bradbury, probably going to be Darius Slay. The Giants just drafted Deontay Banks 2 years ago out of Maryland. So he's moved into, last year, but he's moving into year two now. Electric playmaker on the outside. And of course, Dan Quinn's former Dallas Cowboys to where he coached up guys like Trevon Diggs and Deron Bland. They're ball hawks. So those are the type of athletes that Jaden Daniels this year, at least six times a year for the foreseeable future, is going to be targeting against. So now being efficient with the football, moving the sticks, taking those calculated deep shots, and also not being a robot under center that we saw at times with Taylor Heinicke, we saw it at times with Sam Howell. And Jaden Daniels, comparatively to those two, it's really not comparable. Jaden Daniels is such a higher tier of athlete than what Sam Howell is and what Taylor Heinicke is, fundamentally. So I want to see Jaden, again, be efficient. Progressions is going to be big. Just trusting what he's seeing, because it's not going to be perfect, but just coming to the line of scrimmage and leading the offense in the shallow to intermediate areas early on in training camp and as we get into the preseason, not having to consistently drop back and take the deep shots that I know were fun to watch at LSU when you had Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas against just guys in the SEC, even though it was the SEC, were just not going to the NFL. Take the shallow stuff, take the intermediate stuff, and then once those safeties start to creep up a little bit, showcase that arm, and that's how he's going to consistently get better and better and better and really raise the offensive ceiling for this group. For right now, is going to have to lean on Brian Robinson and Austin Ekeler. And I know, guys, you want to see Washington come in and Cliff Kingsbury and sling it around a little bit, and they are. Don't get me wrong. They absolutely will. But this offense will not reach its ceiling and showcase itself as a well-rounded group if they do not get production, consistent production from the likes of Brian Robinson and Austin Ekeler in the run game to force another linebacker on the field, to force crowded boxes, to bring those safeties up a little bit and try to create those mismatches on the outside and really on the fringe areas to allow Jaden on those QB powers, QB draws, some read option looks with Austin Ekeler if they want to get him out in the fringe areas, because he's not going to have a ton of designated runs. They're going to have to take care of his body, especially in the first month of the season. But Washington starts to win games, and he's able to take care of his body. And you know, you start to expand the playbook as you work into week three, week four, week five, and teams start to get tape on you. That's when we're really going to see Jaden Daniels' creativity, playmaking ability, and fundamental speed to outrun not just the guys in the front seven and these hybrid linebackers, but he can outrun corners, and he can outrun safeties, and he can make you miss in open space. And it's just going to be really fun to watch him progress. But again, first, efficiency as a passer, understanding the plays, relaying it to your players, the front five up front, understand what everybody's doing on the same page. Just be efficient with the football is all I need to see early on in training camp, because we understand the ceiling he is as a player, as an athlete, as a passer. But coming into the NFL, where it is a different ballgame, he is learning a different offense. He doesn't have the same guys at LSU that he has now here. Now, it is nice to have Terry McLaurin and Jahan Dotson, but just take the little things before we really expand that playbook and he starts to showcase that skill set and just take care of the football. So next storyline, guys, is on the defensive side of the ball, and it's really all three levels. From the big boys up front in the middle to the edge spot to linebacker to safety to corner. I don't know if I can look at any position for the Commanders on defense and say this is an outstanding elite group. Because last year heading in, we could have said the whole defensive line was an elite group, right? But we never saw Montez Sweat and Chase Young as a duo evolve into flat-out game wreckers, again, as a duo. Montez Sweat was excellent last year, had a hell of a year with Chicago once he was traded at the deadline. Chase Young is a guy that's still trying to figure it out. And if you guys haven't seen it recently, he's not with the Niners anymore. He's down in New Orleans. So he's getting another opportunity on another football team just a few years after he was drafted as the number two overall pick with Washington, right? So when I look at this group, the defensive rotation, Joe Witt Jr., of course, leading the defense along with Dan Quinn, what's this rotation going to look like? Because Joe Witt said it, it's not just 11 guys. It's going to be a rotation of 17, 18 guys that rotate in and out. And I look at guys like Jordan McGee. I look at guys like KJ Henry. I look at guys like Jerzon Newton when he gets healthy along this defensive interior. Or John Ridgeway, who we've seen these last few years, really get some good work and good snaps behind guys like John Allen and Daron Payne. And then you look in the corners room to where it's going to be some combination of Michael Davis, Benjamin St. Juste, Emmanuel Forbes. Where does Christian Holmes fit into that? Mike Sanders still, Quan Martin at nickel. the rotation of players, you're gonna see a lot of guys rotate in and out once we get to camp. Now, for me personally, guys, I won't be able to make it out to training camp this year. I actually leave to cover the Paris Summer Games for NBC. I'll be covering the games for them up in Connecticut for about 3 weeks. So when I get back home, it'll be after training camp, and we'll be full speed into preseason football. Now, I will have a podcast out for you guys each week. I'll do it up there in Connecticut while I'm there covering the games for you guys. But again, unfortunately, I just won't be out there at training camp this year seeing these guys, at least in a Commander's uniform. See a lot of these guys live in college, seen a lot of these guys live down at the Senior Bowl, talked to them at the Combine, got to know a lot of these players in this pre-draft process, but I unfortunately won't be able to see them in their first training camp specifically for these rookies, and just seeing them live, seeing guys move different live. And I think for you guys who are able to make it out there, seeing Ben Sinnott move live, you're going to love. He's a very unique mover. Just his size, the physicality, he's going to expand this playbook. You guys are going to love Mike Sanders still. Jordan McGee. I live up now in the Philadelphia area, as I've told you guys. So it's a little bit of enemy territory up here, of course, with all the Eagles fans around here. But Jordan McGee, a guy that I've seen at Temple, just hell of an athlete. Being able to marry his ability as a football player, specifically in coverage, because I think he's a dynamic run defender and his instincts are outstanding, but watching him in training camp is a guy to keep an eye on. So again, I won't be able to be out in Ashburn this year, but I will be following absolutely daily from afar when I can. Again, be covering the Paris games for NBC this year. Heck of an opportunity. Can't wait for that. Excited for it. But we'll bringing you, of course, coverage every day on my social media, _RyanFowler, if you don't follow me there on X. Every day of training camp, not just for the Commanders, but also around the league. What rookies are doing, certain storylines, highlights, different things to talk about. The draft, also the coverage for 2025 is in full swing for me for both Bleacher Report and the Draft Network. Scouting reports are up on the Draft Network. Got about 50 or 60 of those personally for me already on the website. Articles coming out weekly for Bleacher Report. Just released an article last week, talking about 9 names to note. They're going to rise in this process, rise in the college football season. Take a peek at that. Again, that's on Bleacher Report. Just came out these last few days. So lots of stuff coming for you guys, even though I will not be at training camp with boots on the ground this year. But just fundamentally, guys, it's a big year for Washington. And defensively is where it's going to start. And again, I know I talked about the rotation. I talked about Allen, Payne, Wagner. Your starting 11 looks pretty set as of now. Frankie Louvu has been talked about all offseason. I can't wait for you guys to see how he just flies around. His dynamic athleticism as a blitzer, and then when you line him up at 5-tech, a wide 9 outside the tight end, create that angle to the quarterback, and he's just flying downhill and knocking the shit out of somebody. That's going to be fun to watch when the pads come on. And that's my final storyline, guys. The biggest thing for me, not only a big season, of course, in the debut campaign for Dan Quinn here, and I know this is not his first rodeo with going around the NFC East, of course, with being in Dallas, but it's how he is going to evaluate this roster and really put together his depth chart and really the snap counts, if you will, on the defensive side of the ball, because this offense looks pretty locked in as far as starter spots and who you can look at as far as from a depth perspective. But on defense, when the pads come on, because we've seen them in t-shirt and shorts, as I mentioned this spring, but when pads come on, whether you're coaching Little League, you're coaching high school, college, or now at the NFL level, when the pads come on, you can separate who's for real and flat out who's not. And that's where roster cuts are going to be made. And when you look at the linebacker spot, Jamin Davis, are you going to show up and hit? If you're playing edge rusher, are you going to be able, a guy to not just win with athleticism around the edge? Or are you going to try to win through the chest of the lineman and showcase physicality? Frankie Louvu, we know your ability downhill. Can you flip those hips in coverage and cover a Zach Ertz or a Ben Sinnott in space? Or you have to flash out to the power slot where if Sanders still flashes out to the field and they want to provide some unique maybe cover three looks on the outside and Sanders stills the corner and they rotate a corner out to high safety and that far corner rotates to the opposite side. They're going to do some unique things. You know, can you flip your hips and run in coverage? There's going to be so much that clarifies itself when the pads come on. Not just the big boys getting after in the trenches, because we still have questions at tackle, right? Brandon Coleman, Cornelius Lucas, Braden Daniels, Andrew Wiley. How is that going to shape out at left tackle and right tackle? Because I know for damn sure, hoping that this team is able to find at least an league average left tackle to keep Jaden Daniels upright, right? We want him looking at defenses and scanning defenses. We don't want him on his back looking up at the damn sky that we saw too many times specifically for last year with Sam Howell, to where it really was unfortunate despite his talent that he obviously had under center. And keep an eye on him out in Seattle, as he's just one snap away from leading that offense with DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett and Jaxon Smith-Njigba working behind Geno Smith. So with Washington's quarterback situation, gotta find a left tackle, need better play overall, that consistency, that median of play from Andrew Wiley on the right side. And you're really going to see that once the pads come on and guys are able to hit each other. Now, I hope we see some scuffles. I hope we see some guys when the summer heat gets going, it's 9,500 degrees, you're in a helmet, you're in pads, and you're hitting the same dudes 3, 4, 5, 6 days in a row. You get frustrated by doing that. That's why you see so many teams have these joint practices. And I like to see that. I want to see some guys get frustrated and get some fire going, physicality, set that standard this year, because people talk a lot about culture at the NFL level. Culture is more so with a high school program or a college program. At the NFL, you're not setting a culture, but you do set expectations for grown-ass men in your locker room. Because how you run an NFL locker room is not how you run a college program. It's not how you run a high school program. So the culture stuff is interesting to hear as far as when you talk about certain teams getting new head coaches, GMs, and setting that culture. It's more so from the players that you add, the players that you get rid of, who you pay, who you don't, players that have different roles than others, who are your core contributors to your depth guys, how you separate those individuals. All of that coming together to set an expectation, not setting a culture at the end of the day. Because really, the NFL, despite coaches having 4, 5, 6 year contracts, it really is a what have you done for me lately league. And it is a year by year sort of approach, to where we could sit here this year and Washington wins the NFC East and we're super excited going into next year, and they have a Giants-like regression potentially in 2025 and they win 6 games, and it's a whole different story. So a lot of storylines, guys, that go into a first year of a head coach. For Washington's perspective, of course, a first year GM as well. But at the end of the day, I am excited. I'm really excited for this season. I've gone back these last few weeks and I've listened to some of the episodes just after the Chicago game, after the Buffalo game, and just how upsetting it was, bottom line, to listen to the stuff that we had to talk about after each game. And I just don't want to get back to that. And I'm not sitting here saying, again, expect 10, 11 wins for the Commanders this fall. I'm not at all, guys. But what I do expect, looking at everything from the top down for this organization, the division around them, the schedule this year, the Commanders have a chance to put this thing together early, to where I don't think they need to reach their ceiling in week 4 or week 5. I think they can take a little time and get this thing back on the tracks and win football games in a variety of ways, whether that's leaning on Brian Robinson and Austin Ekeler, or that's leaning on Jaden Daniels, or that's leaning on the defense to win games 13-10 or 17-14, or do you have to win a shootout? If you go up to the Eagles in November on Thursday Night Football and you're having to win a game 31-28 or 34-30, something along those lines. I think Washington's going to be able to diversify themselves, and I hope they do, to where they can win games in a variety of ways. As the weather gets colder, weather changes, whether you're playing outside, whether you're playing in a dome, how your scheme changes, that's going to be really fun to see, and we'll discuss it here as the season goes on, of course. But now with training camp right around the corner, it's really crazy, guys, because I feel like we just had the draft. We just saw the free agency windows come and go. And now we're here sitting here on July 15th, just a couple weeks away from training camp out in Ashburn, to where everybody's going to be in the building. Of course, the rookies report first. And then we're going to get into real football, Commanders on Commanders, good on good, for a lot of time before the season gets going. And we're going to see this roster evolve, because positional players right now that you see on both sides of the ball and guys are going to compete for reps on special teams, it's going to change quickly. First day of pads, I would love to be in those meeting rooms with coaches to where they're talking about certain players, whether it's Mike Sanders still, Christian Holmes, Jordan McGee, or Derek Forrest, Jeremy Chin, Dom Hampton playing at the second level. He's another hybrid guy I'm excited to see. Those conversations are going to be had once the pads come on are going to change this depth chart, and you're going to see some roles change from practice to practice. Guys working with the ones, now he's working with the twos. Guys with the twos, now at the starters. Or a guy with the threes, he's dominating the threes, moves up to the twos, he's dominating the twos. And I think of a guy like Marcus Roseme Jack Saint on the outside. He's dominating threes in the run game, going over people in the passing game, gets some works with the twos, shows success there working with guys like Sam Hartman as a backup quarterback as well, and Marcus Mariota. Then he gets some reps with Jaden Daniels in the ones, and he makes some plays there. That's how guys rise. And you guys know every single year we've seen some players in training camp that have become these training camp darlings over the years, specifically at the wide receiver position, that flash. And I look at a guy like, again, Marcus Roseme Jack Saint, the premier blocker at the wide receiver position in this year's draft, even though he didn't hear his name called on draft night. And I think he has a skill set to come in and open some eyes, really, once the pads get going. He can be physical. Because if he's making plays in the spring like he did, or make plays at Georgia like he did, working with Stetson Bennett over the years and working with Carson Beck, last year, he can come to the NFL in this receiver's room right now, to where behind McLaurin and Dotson, there are some question marks as to how that wide receiver 3-4-5 is going to shape out. He can make some plays this year. So just excited for the pads to come on, excited for real football to show up. Because again, t-shirt and shorts, really fun to watch, but we've seen all these players compete, a lot of them at the NFL level, and all of them for these rookies at the collegiate level, we've seen them compete with the pads on. Not ever going to sit here and get excited about what we see in t-shirt and shorts. So the pads are really what separates guys from, again, your roster cornerstones, your core contributors, your depth guys, and bottom line, who guys are just flat out not going to make this roster. So that is going to do it, guys, for today's episode. Always appreciate you guys tuning in. Again, I'm on X, if you don't follow me there already, @_RyanFowler. All my work is at Bleacher Report and the Draft Network. Plan to have an episode out for you guys next week. Again, as we get closer to training camp, we'll have storylines. We'll talk about the offense, defense, special teams, everything that comes out of Ashburn. I'll have it for you guys as we move closer and closer towards football. So hope you guys enjoy the rest of your week. I will talk to you soon. Football is right around the corner, guys. I am Ryan Fowler, and this is Commanding the Huddle.
Walmart has Straight Talk Wireless, so I can keep doing me, like hitting up all my friends for a last-minute study sesh, or curating the best pop playlist you've ever heard in your life, and even editing all my socials to keep up with what's new. Oh yeah, I look good. Post it. Which all in all suits my study poppy main character vibes to a T, period. Find and shop your fave tech at Walmart.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's time to have your high five moment with High Five Casino, the top social casino where the action and real prizes never stop. Fun spins and big wins are right at your fingertips with over 1,000 games, including High Five Casino exclusives. High Five Casino is always free to play with free coins given out every 4 hours. Sign up today and get free welcome coins you can spin for a chance at cash prizes. Visit highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. Must be 21 years or older. Terms and conditions apply.
At Ashley, you'll find colorful furniture that brings your home to life. Ashley makes it easier than ever to express your personal style with an array of looks in fun trending hues to choose from earth tones to vibrant colors to calming blues and greens. Ashley has pieces for every room in the house in the season's most sought-after shades. A more colorful life starts at Ashley. Shop in-store, online today. Ashley, for the love of home.